And welcome to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Today we are broadcasting live from Houston, Texas, and we've got some very, very important business out here, placing a service dog for a very special person. And we are also out here with Savannah, who is Wyatt's niece, and we're going to be going through some very, very interesting things that have popped up in the last week in the news and in basically in the world. First of all, one of the things is, you know, when we do our show, we usually broadcast from, you know, New Jersey or Texas or Arizona or Colorado. One of the things that always hits me is the differences across the lines and across the regions, in not only in weather, which is obvious, but in the attitudes that people have about their dogs. Now, there are crazy dog lovers like us all over the place, that's for sure. But the problem is that those crazy dog lovers need to remember that their dogs are still dogs, and you need to fulfill the basic needs of your dog as a dog. So when you say that, you know, you're going to, oh, I'm going to take my dog with me everywhere, and I'm just going to leave him in the car for like 5 minutes. In 5 minutes, in Houston, Texas, or in Galveston Island, where we're right near, you know, it can 5 minutes can be enough to drive that temperature from 90 degrees to like 115 or 120 in 5 to 10 minutes. So it's really not a good idea to take your dog out with you unless you've got something really set up or you're going somewhere where your dog can be with you. Even at night, just because it's not sunny out doesn't mean that your dog can't be subject to, you know, different things like heat stroke. Very, very important. I know it sounds so obvious, but, you know, people really need to remember that. It's just so, so important to remember to be, you know, sensible and use your common sense. Don't take your dog or your cat or your toddler, leave them in the car while you go into Walmart to work for a few hours, all right? But one of the other parts of that is, what do you do if you have a dog who is, you know, in some kind of a dilemma, he's in some kind of distress? We had Janae Bowen from Doggy911 on, and she's really amazing, but of course we are going to have her on as well. But there are some common sense things you can do. If you are going to be outside with your dog, try to bring some source of shade, even an umbrella, something that you can set up, or a little tent, and they have those little cheap kitty tents you can use, just to be able to get your dog out of the sun. Now, if you have a breed that's a very light color, especially a white dog or a very light-colored golden, one of the most important things to do is make sure that your dog doesn't get a sunburn on his nose. Also, some dogs, their eyes can be harmed because, especially a dog that has blue eyes or light-colored eyes, or if you do have, you know, believe it or not, there are dogs who are albinos and have albinism. You've got to be careful because they don't all have that ability to produce melanin and to, you know, have the darker hair or darker, you know, fur coat or skin coat that is going to help them to prevent, you know, cancers and things. But sunburn is pretty common. So there are certain kinds of doggy suntan lotions. Yes, there really are. And again, the best thing is to keep your dog out of the sun. Keep him at home if you can. Now, one of the things that I've learned, and unfortunately, very sadly, I've learned, a very good friend of mine just lost several dogs. At night, the power went out in the house. And because the power went out, and of course it was at night, it was 2 or 3 in the morning, and they weren't at home, the dogs were there. And, you know, because there were the dogs and they were in one area of the house, it got very, very hot. And actually, several of those dogs passed away from the heat inside their house because the power went out. So there are all kinds of wonderful applications that you can get on your smartphone, which you're able to actually monitor the temperature inside your house. Now, some of them are very expensive, over $1,000 each, for monitors that you can buy to keep them either in your car, not that you'd want your dog in the car, or your RV for those of you who go to dog shows or agility or lure coursing or specialties, things like that. And these things are actually alarms that can go off and alert you if there is an increase or decrease in the temperature. So if it's in the winter and you want to set this for you know, anytime it drops below 55 degrees or whatever number you want it to be, or on the contrary, if you are in, you know, a hot summer area, Florida or even into California or the southern parts of Texas, which is now blazing hot, of course, you can have these heat sensors that will actually detect an excess in heat. So, for instance, if it goes over like 80 or 85 degrees, and it can call you on your cell phone or send you a text message. Now, they don't all work because the friend of mine actually had all those in place and it did not work. But there are some pretty good companies out there, and do a little bit of checking. So if you do have your dogs at home and you live in a hot area and you say, oh, yeah, my dogs are at home, you know, while I'm at work, well, what happens if your power goes out and your air conditioning shuts off? Do those dogs have a way to get out of your house, or do you have a contingency plan to make sure that those dogs are not going to be subject to, you know, higher than, you know, 100, 110 degrees? And it's very easy, as you can imagine, especially if you live in a smaller house with low ceilings where the heat is trapped, it's always a good idea to leave an escape route for your dogs, especially if you have a fenced-in yard. So imagine if your power goes off in your little house with a low ceiling and your dog is in there and has no way to get out. If you've ever been in a porta potty in the summer, you know how hot those things get. Well, same thing can happen because of the radiant heat from the sun can get into that little building, especially if you have a dark-colored roof and, low ceilings, where the heat doesn't come out. Most dogs will wind up lying on the furniture, so they're a little bit higher where there's more heat. And especially if it's on the second floor, if you've got your dogs, like, locked in a crate upstairs in your bedroom, and, you know, the sun is coming in and your air conditioning goes off and he's locked in a room in a crate, it's basically, you know, a very dangerous situation. So consider having some kind of a security system or an alarm set up so that if you are even at work one day and that, you know, the power should go off, that your dogs will be safe and won't overheat. Also, during the day, if you go out, make sure that you've got, you know, plenty of fresh, cool water for the dog. It doesn't certainly prevent the dog from having any health issues, but it definitely helps them to at least remain hydrated. Most of the time what happens is dogs get dehydrated and then their blood is thicker, so it's not able to circulate through the body and replace enough of the oxygen. Sometimes the hemoglobin can't really function when you have a lot of high temperatures because the blood thickens. And, of course, if the blood is thicker, it's harder for the heart to pump out, and it can't get into the lungs as efficiently. And, of course, you know, your dog can have a serious issue. So it's really, really important to remember that whenever you're going outside or you're going to be leaving for a while, what would you do if that power went out? Don't let that happen to you. I'm hoping that some of my great fans who have been listening since the beginning of the show, and one of whom I spoke with just a few days ago, lovely, lovely lady, in the Midwest, and she's actually, the other one is in Tennessee, said that they would like for me to discuss some of the things that happen besides the obvious in the summer months. And that is definitely one of them that I wanted to talk about today. So we are going to return in a moment with the rest of the show. We've got some really fun things we're going to be talking about. We're going to be discussing activities, and we're also going to be discussing the different kinds of rehabilitation techniques, both behaviorally and physically, that are out there and are available. And we will be in around November when we have our United Canine Professionals National Convention in New Jersey, Central Jersey. We are going to have some experts, and we're going to try to get some of them to be on the panel to be able to discuss things based on the questions that come in. So remember, if you want to ask a question, you can either call us. You can get our phone number off of our For the Love of Dog on BBS Radio on our website, or United, the letter K, the number 9, UnitedK9Professionals.com or MerlinsKids.org. Any way you can get to us and tell us what you'd like to see on the show. What would you like to hear about? Because we can teach you everything. We know so many people with incredible knowledge, and we are always happy to share it. We will be right back. Stay tuned.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, today, Savannah and I are broadcasting with our good friend Luis Medina from Mexico, who is up here training with us up here in Houston, which I think if you take a few letters out of the middle of Houston, it spells hot. It certainly does. And Savannah is lying on the other bed here at the Omni. It's a wonderful, wonderful hotel, and they're certainly being very nice with us, and Savannah is just enjoying herself immensely. So we'll definitely have to invite everybody to spend a day with Savannah and Wyatt at some point, because it's quite enjoyable. So we're discussing about different temperatures and things that are a problem. You know, most people think about the obvious with the cold weather, where a dog can freeze to death. But actually, dogs are much better suited. Even the short-haired dogs, like a Ridgeback, are much easier and much better suited to warming their bodies instead of cooling their bodies. People realize dogs have fur, and even if they have a very light coat, most of them can actually, do pretty well for a while. With, not in Alaska with a 60 below, but, you know, even in New Jersey's winters, you know, the dogs can be out for a few hours and they're typically fine. The problems with the hot weather are that the dog can't cool itself, where in the cool weather, it's certainly a lot easier to put a blanket on and to put, you know, a little area where the dog's own body heat can keep it warm under a blanket or a nice little comfy bed. But, you know, when you're in Houston, you also have to remember, the lower the humidity, like in Colorado has pretty low humidity sometimes, and the higher humidity, like in Houston and a lot of the north and southeast, have a pretty high humidity. So the drier the air, the quicker the dog is going to be susceptible to dehydration. If there's a lot of humidity in the air, the dog isn't going to lose as much moisture when it breathes, when it exhales, and it is actually inhaling moist air, so it's less stress on the body. So if it's humid, even though it's harder to breathe, and there is certainly a little bit more of a difficulty with that, the great thing is that the dogs tend not to dehydrate quite as quickly, unless, of course, they're in extreme conditions. You know, if they're in 110 degrees, they're definitely going to try to cool themselves down. Now, what do you do if you have a dog with an issue? Let's say a dog who's gotten too hot, he's played or whatever, and let's say he's vomiting, or you see he's got diarrhea, or you don't see a lot of capillary refill, and his blood is thick. Sometimes what you can do, if you lift up the dog's gums, the lip, and you can kind of press your finger, not the nail, but the flat part of your finger, press that into your dog's gums, assuming that your dog isn't going to attack you, but assuming it's a well-behaved dog that one of our amazing people at United Canine Professionals has helped you with so that the dog is non-reactive to all those things. If you're able to check, and if you see that if the gums are very pale, if they're like kind of a grayish, that is not good. The gum should be very, very pink, almost like a reddish, like a brighter pink. And if the dog's gums are kind of a purplish or grayish or very, very pale pink, that can mean that the dog isn't getting enough oxygen. It could also mean that the dog is bleeding internally or is anemic. So there are many different things that can actually be happening with your dog. Now, if you take either the top of the head or the back or an area that's a little bit tighter skin than the belly, and if you pinch that together a little bit, you'll actually, when you let go, you'll see how long it takes for that skin to return to the correct texture and all. And that is actually a great way of knowing if your dog is dehydrated. So if you take, like, the dog at the top of the head, and if you give a little squeeze, not too hard, but, you know, just bringing the layers together as if you were trying to squeeze the ends of a sandwich together for a child who doesn't want to eat the crust. Your moms will know what I'm talking about with that. If you do that and it doesn't spring back pretty quickly, that could mean that your dog is also dehydrated. Now, if a dog is unconscious, you don't want to start giving it liquids through the mouth because it can aspirate. That is not a good idea. But the best thing to do is take the dog and not use ice-cold water, but cool water. If it's ice-cold, you can actually cause more problems because it'll shock the body. So if you use some cool water, and the best places to put the cool water are on the dog's chest, armpits, and belly because the hair is the lightest there. So on the inside, under part of the dog, the part that has less hair, those are the best places to try to cool your dog. You can use the spray bottle, a wet towel, a water hose. But, you know, obviously if the dog is unconscious or is in shock, you don't want to scare the dog more. And, you know, certainly don't give the dog anything by mouth right away. But that will cool the dog's body down. Of course, always call your veterinarian or, someone who's very knowledgeable to be able to help you. It's always great to have somebody's emergency phone number. And one of the things we talk about all the time is having an emergency plan for your dog. People have that for their kids, hopefully. So what happens if you're going and you're gone, somewhere in your house near your dog, there should be something very, very obvious and very visible, a little notepad or a whiteboard or something that says emergency vet contact, and it should be a 24-hour, or if you use your regular vet plus the 24-hour emergency vet, with a phone number, the name of the veterinarian, any information that the dog might need, and get an address of that veterinarian and a phone number so you have it. This way, if somebody comes in to help you with your dog, or if, you know, you call a neighbor and say, hey, you know, the power went out. My neighbor down the street called me. I know you don't have a key, but, you know, you can sneak in. The key is under the citronella candle or whatever it is in the back of the house. If you can go in and just check on my dog, and then this way you have all your emergency information already there. And it's also a very, very good idea to have a muzzle. You don't want to muzzle a dog with a soft muzzle, mesh muzzle, the nylon muzzle, if the dog is unconscious or having difficulty breathing, because it can inhibit the dog from being able to cool itself. But it's a good thing to have a muzzle handy just in case for some reason something happens and the dog might be getting a little aggressive. Just there's actually a great muzzle out there. I can't promote it, but I will tell you, it makes you look like Hannibal Lecter. It's definitely a great muzzle, though, and it allows the dog to open its mouth and do everything. It could do everything but bite, but it can breathe, it can pant, it can drink, and do everything. Now, if the dog is walking around but extremely hot, make sure he's got enough water. Don't force him, but make sure he's got enough nice cool water, not ice cold again, but cool water, so he's able to cool himself. And you can always take the towel or let him lie on a, you know, on the cold floor. Especially a lot of dogs with a lot of hair, like Labs and Goldens, they really love to lie on a cold floor. So if you leave for the day, even if it gets really hot in your house, if you have a marble or stone floor or concrete, it'll still be cooler than the surrounding air, so the dog can actually cool itself by lying down on that cement or on that tile. So consider that, you know, even if you have a little doggy bed or something, for those of you who keep the dogs in a crate, in the summer you'll notice when your dogs get hot, they will just dig and dig and dig in their crate and push the bed out of the way or even destroy it. And what do? You fix it. Come on, Fluffy, come on out of there. Let me put you back in the bed. You lay the bed down. Well, the dog is smart enough to know that he's going to be overheated. He doesn't need that pillow in his crate in the daytime. He'd rather lay on the nice, cool tray. So stay tuned. We're going to be back for our next segment in just a moment, and we'll go through some more really helpful tips that might save your dog. Stay tuned.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. And we're talking about warm weather care for your dog. And that brings me to the next point. You know, I hear a lot of people who leave their food down for the dog and it's just dry kibble, and that's certainly fine. But remember, when you're leaving food down, even if you put something in it or your dog is licking it, I know dogs are dogs and some of them are coprophagic, which means they eat poop. But still, I wash my dog's bowls out after every single meal, especially if there's a fly or there's something, there can be larvae. A lot of times, especially if it's not kept clean, you know, you can have a dog who's eating food that a fly dumped larvae on, and now he's got some kind of a parasite in his system, which can also go into the skin. So that's another thing in the summer. I know with horses, we never geld or neuter, we call castrate, but we never geld our horses, our young horses, our stallions or colts in the summer. We wait until there are no flies because the flies can get in there and can lay eggs in an open wound in the dog's skin or the horse's skin, and it can get very inflamed, and it's pretty disgusting if you've ever seen that happen. So, same thing, if your dog has any kind of a cut or an injury, try to cover it, at least put a little bit of Neosporin or something on it, you know, obviously checking with your veterinarian, But, you know, there you can also use things like a little bit of citronella near the area, like just a tiny drop, like, and I mean tiny drop. I did have a family I talked about earlier, one of our previous shows, who with their dog had actually put, I said, get the essential oil of citronella and just put the tiniest drop on the corner of the furniture, and it will help them to not want to chew on the furniture or go up on the counter. Well, the husband thought more is better, so he took his finger and he made literally drips, and he dragged his finger all the way across the kitchen table. And when I went there for a follow-up, I walked in literally from down the hallway. You could smell the citronella. Now, there wasn't a mosquito in sight, but, you know, I got a headache. And I looked at him and I said, how much of that did you use? And his wife started laughing like, yeah, you told him like a tiny drip. And I told him, take a toothpick and dip that into the essential oil. If it's a good quality of essential oil, you only need a tiny drop. And I said, take the end of a toothpick and just take a few drops on the end of a toothpick. Now, you know how tiny the end of a toothpick is. Well, he took his finger, which is considerably larger than a toothpick, and dragged it across there. So you don't have to use a lot, but just take a tiny, tiny drop of the citronella nearby. The other thing is cinnamon sometimes. But again, check with your veterinarian, check with your pet professional to see what works for your dog. Because if there is an open wound, if there's a cut, if your groomer grooms your dog and gets a little snip in there and you don't even realize it, especially on a dog who doesn't have a lot of hair when it's done, you know, groomers are notorious. I mean, there are some great groomers out there, but some of the, you know, the box store groomers are not professional groomers, and they get in there and they just, you know, go through with the clipper. And I've seen little dogs, and one in particular was a little Bichon, that the groomer had used too small of a blade, and instead of using, let's say, a 20, he used a 40. And what wound up happening was there was a cut, like where the dog's skin got cut, and it must have had a fly or something laid larvae in there. And if you want to see the most disgusting thing, is this adorable little dog with maggots in all growing in it. It was absolutely disgusting. I hope nobody's eating dinner right now. But it's really a pretty common thing. So, you know, make sure that, you know, you keep your house and the area that the dog is lying in very clean. If your dog has an accident or lays in excrement, or, you know, you see him, you know, and he's kind of not real clean, you might want to consider giving him a little bit of a bath, or clean that area, and make sure if your dog is outside where there are a lot of bugs, make sure that you're using some kind of flea and tick preventative, and make sure your dog is on heartworm, people. Probably 50 to 60% of the dogs that we rescue from Georgia, the Carolinas, Louisiana, and Texas areas are positive for heartworm. And that could be so easily avoided. All you have to do is keep them on heartworm preventative. Especially for the little dogs, the heartworm preventative is not really that expensive. And if you can't afford it, there are agencies that will help you to be able to afford. But it is so important to have your dog on a preventative, especially if he's outside. Now, if your dog is an indoor dog, I did see a dog get not Lyme disease. It had one of the mosquito ones. I think it had Giardia. And it actually got the Giardia, which comes from if you step in, let's say, in feces or in a possum feces, you wouldn't know it because it's been dragged on the sidewalk, but you step on something, or you can actually bring parvo into your dog, which is another thing. I actually have that in my latest canine behavior book. I do have a story about that where there were I was actually neutering one of my dogs, one of our service dogs, prior to placement. And what happened was the veterinarian was running very late, and I saw the telltale bleach bucket with, you know, nearly full strength, you know, I think half diluted bleach in the waiting room, and I saw that the floor was wet, and immediately, because I was in a, you know, not the best neighborhood in the world, it was a clinic that works with us, that's wonderful. And I looked and I said, oh my gosh, and I was bringing, you know, this dog in, and I have another dog at that same foster's house. And I looked at that, and I said, oh, boy. And I looked at the girl, the vet tech, and I said, is that a parvo dog that just walked out? And she said, yep. And I was kind of shocked because that was the one that survived, but there were two others that went in and didn't. Now, how do dogs get parvo? How do dogs get diseases? Well, parvo doesn't come from flies, but it does come from, you know, the different contamination of parvo can come from, like they can, you can actually bring it in on your feet. It's like strangles with horses. If you go from, like your veterinarian goes from one farm that might have strangles, which is an upper respiratory, very, very, very bad thing that kind of like a canine influenza, but even worse. And if a veterinarian is walking where there was contamination from strangles or same thing, your veterinarian that has parvo on his feet or you have it on your feet, you bring it in, you can bring that into your dog. So you don't have to have nose-to-nose contact all the time to in order to get a problem. But that's where you really want to be very diligent and make sure you're getting your dogs vaccinated. If you're not getting your dogs vaccinated properly, and checking them periodically to titer them or whatever, you know, they're really at risk of a lot of horrible things. Now, in the case of this, the two dogs who died of parvo and the third one who did survive, but all three of those people had vaccinated their dogs when they were puppies. And I even asked, I said to the one lady I was speaking with, did you ever vaccinate your dog? She said, oh, yeah, we did. We vaccinated our dogs. And you know, our dog, and he got it anyway. And I said, well, you know, I know it's not 100% effective, but there were two other dogs that passed. How many shots did you give? Oh, well, we gave her the shot when we first got her. How old was the dog? 6 weeks. I said, well, you need to have a booster series of three in order for it to be effective. The problem is you don't know when the mother's immunity is going to stop being in effect, and if we knew the day that the puppy's immune system would kick in, we could only give it once. But we can't do that because that's why we give it at 8, 12, and 16 weeks. And certain areas of the country, like Texas, Arizona, other areas that are hotter climates, tend to give it even at like 6, 10, and 14, and then a rabies at 16, because we don't know when the immunity kicks in. Stay tuned. We are going to be right back with a fourth segment on For the Love of Dog. Be right back.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, today, unfortunately, we have to talk about some not-so-great things. What causes dogs to fail in their older years? And sometimes what causes dogs to die younger than they really should? Not just physical things, people. Yes, it's a very great stressor for a dog to be in constant heat or constant cold. There's never a good situation when your dog isn't in a climate-controlled environment because in nature, yes, they did not have air conditioning and they didn't have heating, but your dog would naturally go into a nice little alcove. They would cuddle up and snuggle up together. So that's how, if you look at like my Ridgebacks where I have at any given time anywhere from 15 to 20 of them in my house, in the winter, even with the heat on, those guys are snuggled, slammed onto my bed, and as many as can possibly jam into the bed are jammed in. They get under the covers, and that's what they'd be doing in nature. They would pile up, And a lot of times you'll also see the dogs put their noses down into the ground. And you say to yourself, why would the dog dig its nose, like put its nose perpendicular to the ground? How can it breathe? Now, try an experiment right now, people. Take your hand. Do not cover it so that you cannot breathe, but put your hand up over your nose and breathe through your nose. And put your hand up very, very, very close to your nose. And in a couple of minutes, you're going to be so boiling hot because by putting your hand up there, and please take your hand away if you start not feeling well, but you can see. So if a dog is breathing into its paw, the floor, a blanket, sometimes that can show that the dog is chilly and he's trying to warm himself. It's the same thing as why we put a hat on and the same thing as why we put a ski mask on and we cover our nose in the winter. Because instead of being able to cool ourselves by our entire air passage, including the lungs, from the nostrils to the lungs, a dog might not be able to do that. And if a dog is outside in cold weather, not only is cold air by nature very, very dry, so it dehydrates them very quickly, but also their water source might be frozen, and they might be unable to get at water. So what they do is they keep their nose down either into their own body or stick it into somebody else's body or a blanket, and they're actually able to not only conserve the heat and keep themselves warmer, but they're also able to prevent themselves from dehydrating as quickly. Very, very interesting. So if you look at a dog and you try to figure out why things happen, you'll figure out the reason. But if you just say, oh, well, I don't know why he does that, well, find out why, people. Pretend you're 4 years old again, and you're nagging your mother. Mommy, why? Because. No, that's not an adequate answer, mother. Why does that happen? And if you can ask why, you'll be able to learn anything. Anything in the whole world will be simple all of a sudden. So what do you do for your dog to prevent stress? Well, keeping him cool enough and warm enough is obviously one. Giving him a super high-quality food, not necessarily a high protein and certainly not necessarily a high fat, because if your dog is a little dog who's prone to pancreatitis or gastrointestinal issues, you definitely don't want to give it too much fat or too high of a protein, especially if it's an older dog who might have kidney issues. Because protein can sometimes be very difficult for a dog to process in high amounts. It does not mean you're going to go on a low-protein diet for your, 2-year-old golden. But make sure that when the dog is growing, he has adequate protein and fat in his diet without being too high. Now, if your dog has a kind of roly-poly, kind of pudgy body, like a lot of goldens and a lot of labs tend to have that excess fat, be aware that the heavier your dog is, shorter he's going to live. Obese adult humans typically don't live as long as humans who are very fit. Same thing with your dog. The other problem is that if your dog is not on an organic food, and even if he's on organic, but you're living in an area that has a lot of pollution, like smog, like L.A. and things like that, or certain other areas that have a lot of industry, all those toxins are still getting into your dog's body. If your dog is the victim of secondhand smoke because your husband, wife, significant other smokes, get your dog out of there because your dog can't process that. Neither can you, by the way. But, you want to kill yourself and smoke and do stupid things, you can do that. But don't kill your dog with that because a dog's lungs will get coated with that. It can lead to all kinds of COPD issues. It can lead to extra stress, and your dog can die younger. We love our dogs. We cherish our dogs. Why would you do anything that's going to make your dog potentially die young? Which brings me to another thing. I know you're going to think this is overkill, but dogs do not process chlorine real well, and there's a lot of main cities that are starting to remove the chlorination and fluoridation out of the water system. They're trying to use other methods to keep the water from being polluted and keeping it safe for us. But certainly fluoride is not something that, is really that necessary now because it's in toothpaste. I mean, some of the toothpastes are taking it out because there's so much in water. But there are things that can cause poisoning. If you're using tap water and you're living in an apartment or you know, inner city area that has lead pipes, it's not good for your children. It's really not good for your dog either. Consider just either renting or purchasing a little inexpensive water filter, or buying a little one of these filtering pitchers where you can actually put the water into it and it will filter out all those things. Because unfortunately, your dog can't go and drink Perrier. Your dog can only have whatever you give him. And if you're giving him something that isn't good for him, he's not going to know. So, you know, unfortunately, a lot of these things are carcinogenic, and lead can actually cause behavioral changes in dogs, especially puppies, the same way that it can cause behavioral changes and brain damage in a growing fetus or in a young child. That's why we get rid of lead paint. Now, children stick things in their mouth. Look at a puppy. Look at dogs. They've constantly got things in their mouth. That's one of their primary ways of seeing the world. You know, personally, I'd rather look out the window of an airplane and see things. But, you know, if they want to suck on a piece of lead paint or lick the wall because, you know, there was some kind of organic matter on it, you want to make sure that they're not going to get that in their system, because it can cause behavioral changes. It can cause cancers. It can cause all kinds of things, lethargy and even diseases, even Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's. They've been linking to potentially to aluminum. I mean, it's kind of amazing what's out there. So best thing to do is to have some kind of filtered water or bottled water. You know, you can buy the cheap gallons, either the distilled water or just the regular, you know, 79, 89 cents at, you know, one of the big box stores. And this way, at least you know that your dog is not going to be drinking something bad. Now, of course, dogs are dogs. You're walking in the street, there's a disgusting puddle, and the dog is thirsty. That's going to happen. But if that does happen, consider having something like a very, very simple dewormer. So if you see that your dog is constantly eating things outside and he's licking, he's eating the dirt, he may be getting bacteria, he may be getting fungal things, he also may be getting protozoal things and disgusting, you know, larvae and all kinds of gross stuff. So consider worming your dog. If he's on heartworm, a lot of the heartworm preventatives will actually take care of roundworms, hookworms, and pinworms. Some will do whipworms as well. But, you know, if you can get something like a Strongid or Panicure, your veterinarian might even be able to give you a little bit of it. Or you can sometimes buy some of the Parentals at your local, you know, your pet store. But always check with your veterinarian. It's always best to check with your, you know, licensed veterinarian who's gone to school and has done this for their livelihood, because they know more than the guy who's making $8 an hour at PetSmart or Petco or one of those box stores. So please listen to your veterinarian or your behavioral person, especially if it's United Canine Professionals, because we beat the heck out of our students, not physically but mentally, to make sure that they know all these different things. And, you know, we will guide you. And if we don't know, we're going to refer you right to your veterinarian, because it's very important to make sure that, you know, that things are done right for your dog. We will be right back, so stay tuned for the final segment.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great.
Thank you.
welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. And, of course, I can never, ever finish a show without a wonderful shout-out to the inimitable future Dr. Jody Joseph, and congratulations to her sister Jocelyn, who is now officially a medical doctor. Congratulations, Jocelyn, on passing your boards. I know they weren't easy, but you're a smart cookie, and you're going to be an amazing doctor. And, Jody, you're a couple years behind, and you're going to be the most amazing veterinarian on the planet. So proud of you, girls. Well, we wanted to continue on a little bit with some of the common things that happen to dogs, not just in the winter, not just in the summer, but all through the year. So, talking about different parasites and different situations that can come up, what are the warning signs that you want to be aware of? Sometimes people will say, oh, my dog is eating grass, you know, and my dog is eating all this stuff, and, you know, and then you'll say, my dog isn't eating at all. When your golden retriever does not eat its dinner, it's a problem, okay? Goldens are pretty notorious for putting anything in their mouths. They're kind of like the two-year-old male children of the canine world. The average golden and lab, you can add the labs in there with that, has probably stuck tens of thousands of things in its mouth, and that means the owner has been chasing it around, removing those tens of thousands of things. But there's always that one item that you can't remove. There is one thing that is really important to understand, and I've done research and studies, and my good friend Dr. Temple Grandin has kind of concurred with me on this, and there are a lot of different options, but one of the main things that tends to happen when somebody is needing something, is yearning, is craving something, there's usually a nutritional component at the base. Now, I have been a breeder of champion, grand champion, Rhodesian Ridgebacks for 29 years now. It's a long time. Now, while I've been doing these amazing dogs and breeding these incredible animals, I have also rescued probably 100 times as many as I've ever created, because I believe that, yes, there's a very good place in this world for really super well-bred, good temperaments, on you know, responsible breeding practices with purebred dogs. But there are also just 4 million, just in the U.S. alone, euthanized every year, not including the 8 million to 12 million cats that they're estimated that are euthanized. And one of the things that I find very, very important is when you see the larger litter sizes, those tend to be the dogs, and I'll bet you it's because that the mother only makes a certain amount of colostrum, and if you have a litter with 10 or 12 or 13, 14 puppies, each puppy is not able to get as much colostrum as if the litter has 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 puppies. So you tend to see dogs and mothers sometimes who get something called demodectic mange or sarcoptic mange. Sarcoptes is not fun. That is transmittable to humans. Demodex is not. But demodectic mange is super, super common in dogs who had very poor prenatal and postnatal nutrition. So if you see a female dog and she's really skinny and emaciated, the best thing you can do is get her on a high-quality vitamin supplement and not so much adding a lot of fat and a lot of protein immediately, because you will shut her body down and she will go into shock because she's not used to it. But definitely increasing the amount of protein and a little bit of fat in order to give her what she needs. And I highly, highly recommend a vitamin supplement called NuVet. I've been using it for years. All of our people at United Canine Professionals use it, and we just hear story after story, and I've seen it with my own dogs. My dogs, Savannah's right now sleeping on the bed very soundly in a little round ball, and she is very healthy, and she doesn't shed. She's just got this beautiful, healthy glow to her. She's happy. She's not stressed. You know, her nails look great. She's very healthy. Her eyes are clear. Everything's wonderful. Yes, I have her on all organic food, like I recommend to you if you can. Definitely, if you can afford it, do it, because it's worth it. raw diet is great too, but the problem with raw is it's generally not organic, so it's got the same chemicals and pesticides and preservatives and gunk that are in, you know, our food that is not, you know, organic, except it's not the same quality typically, because they'll use the first quality USDA choice they'll use for humans before they'll use it for animals. So my dogs are on all organic, but the NuVet vitamins, which is NUVET.com, NuVet.com, is really a phenomenal way to make sure that your dog is getting all the nutrition, especially if your dog is not a big eater or is finicky in the warm or cool weather. These things, we call it like doggy crack. It's like doggy drugs. They truly will do anything for it. And a funny story, Wispadee Bunny Dog, one day, I got my shipment of my NuVet vitamins, and I was missing some, and they had these little envelopes that I was giving out to my puppy people when people would, you know, buy my puppies, or when we would place a service dog, we would give the vitamins out because that's what we use. So we would get people, you know, give them some of the vitamins. Well, I had 50 of these little packets of the vitamins, and each one had three in them. And it was inside a double, like the post office express mail, which is plastic. So I couldn't find the package, and I thought, okay, gee, my housekeeper Yola probably, you know, wound up throwing it away or sticking it up somewhere. I'll find it someday, like I'll find everything else that was hidden. But I couldn't find it. And I noticed the one day that the couch, my big sofa, was pulled out from the wall, which is very, very unusual, because my dogs really are not destructive. They're great. So I pushed the couch back, didn't think anything of it. Came in the next day, the couch was pulled out again, and there were 50 sample bags, not ripped open, but actually the little, like the little Ziploc kind of, the kind of bags that have the little one side, you know, pops into the other. All 50 bags were open, and I'm sure that she did not share. She didn't get sick because it's just all natural. It's made in a human pharmaceutical lab, and it's a great, great, great product. But it keeps my dogs healthy. They don't beg. They don't countersurf. They don't steal food out of the garbage because nutritionally they are satisfied. And that's one of the things with dogs who come from a larger litter or from poor prenatal or postnatal nutrition or care. You'll see that, and you'll see that the dogs who had demodectic mange, not always, but very often, have different issues. They have different skin conditions that might plague them, or eye conditions, you know, allergies, hot spots, itching, rashes, even internally. So if we think about how a dog or how a human processes food or nutrition, if they take it into their body and they're allergic to it, or if they're eating corn or wheat or soy or BHA, BHT byproducts, I'm going to go through this another time, probably next week or the week after, we're going to be going through all the nutrition again. If your dog is eating something, let's say with wheat, which is an allergen, or it's eating something that's causing inflammation or it's causing intestinal distress and the dog is getting diarrhea or vomiting or is not eating because it doesn't have an appetite, and if you're continuing on that path, what's going to basically happen is it can also cause inflammation in the brain and it can cause behavioral changes. So it's really super important to make sure your dog is on a good, good quality, high quality, no corn, wheat, soy, dog food. Dogs do not run around in the fields in the wild and eat ears of corn. They might eat the bunny that ran through the field, but they're not going to eat the ear of corn. So the NuVet is awesome, and if you order it, you have to get an order code. You can use 40560, otherwise they won't let you order, 40560. And you just go on NuVet.com, and you can look on their website. It's pretty amazing. But with that code, 40560, you can order the product. I get it on auto ship, so I save 15%, but I have a lot of dogs. But it's just really, really important always to make sure that when you're dealing with your dog and you're giving him the best nutrition, you've got him on heartworm preventative, you've got him on flea and tick, and he's always got a place to get out of the heat or out of the cold. And I know it sounds really common sense, but a lot of people don't do that, and dogs die every day because people don't realize it. So please safeguard your dog's life and health. Take good care of them. Have a wonderful week, and we'll hear you on Tuesday on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog, and on Friday next week again on For the Love of Dogs. Have a great week.